95.9 WATD, the South Shore's Morning News. I'm Rob Hakala with the Morning Team. Great to have you here. Every week at this time, it's our Paws and Claws segment. We talk about the pet and animal world. And this segment always sponsored by the Clean Team. Even the best pets can't clean up their own mess. Call the Clean Team to take care of fur, furniture, paw tracks, tiles, and all sorts of catastrophes and doggy dilemmas. Visit thecleanteam.net. That's thecleanteam.net. And on the second Tuesday of the month, we check in with the experts at Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists. They join us from the Zoological and Exotics Medicine Department. We talk about all kinds of great pet questions and care. And joining us now, we have Lorelei DeVolio and Katie Rolfe. Lorelei and Katie, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Thanks for joining us today on our Paws and Claws Ask a Question segment. How are you guys doing? You making it through? You didn't float away yet down there?
Staying dry as best we can. Yeah, it's been a rough weekend. We're definitely trying our best to stay dry now.
All right, so maybe it would be good to be a fish. Okay, so we're going to get to some questions here. I'll start with a couple of just sent in, and then you guys can get into some other related topics as well. And by the way, if anyone has a question you want to send in, the text line is 781-837-4900. The text line sponsored by Auto Shine Auto Body in Abington and Braintree. All right, so this one says, I'm thinking about getting a rabbit. Are there any vegetables or fruits that I should avoid? Can I feed the rabbit anything? Okay, who wants to take that one?
Me.
Oh,
Lorelei.
Okay, go ahead. This is a question about rabbits.
Yes, this is an amazing question because I think people realize that rabbits are strict herbivores and they really need to only be eating, you know, vegetables.
Yeah, fruits and veggies. Okay.
Yeah, non-meat proteins. So the majority of their diet, let me just first say, should be grass hay. We want to emphasize that, yes, veggies can make up part of their diet, but we really feel that 85-90% of their diet should be some kind of grass hay, like timothy or orchard grass, and that's what's best for their gut, and that's what's best for their teeth. But vegetables are a great addition to their diet. What you want to avoid would be things that are super, super high in calcium. So we don't like when people give too much of one specific thing, like, I'm only feeding my rabbit beet greens or kale. Things that have, much higher calcium contents can cause urinary problems in bunnies. So while they can have some, it shouldn't make up all of the greens they eat. We want to have a big mix of lettuces like green leaf and red leaf and herbs like parsley and cilantro. The key is variety there.
Oh, okay. That's important. Okay. Yeah. I think the thing is, obviously with a lot of things, including people we love in our own world, once we find something that someone likes, we tend to give that person, right? I mean, are we all guilty of that? Yep. Whatever it is, we feed them that. And probably too much of any one thing is not good, as they say.
It's true. And another thing along those lines, Rob, is that they tend to like sweet things, like people don't think of carrots as being super sugary in some ways, but it is. It is a very high sugar content vegetable. So we actually, as much as we love bunnies, do not want to feed them lots of carrots. That's meant to be like a tiny little treat once in a while. Things like sweet peas and snap peas, it's really just a treat food. And of course, fruit, also very, very sweet. That should just make up a minimal part of the treats they get on a weekly basis, certainly not basis.
Okay. I'll ask one more since this is a rabbit-related question, too. We'll just group it together. They want to know, can I tell if my rabbit, is it possible they could have a problem with their teeth? What are signs of a problem with it? Is that something that someone would see? Or?
Yeah, that's definitely something that can be seen in your bunny's kind of day-to-day behaviors. One of the first things, kind of obviously, that you'd see is a bunny that might not be eating as much as they normally do, or a bunny that is avoiding foods that are harder to chew. So a bunny might be, you know, more prone to eating their softer foods like their greens and their veggies and avoiding their hay if their teeth are bothering them. And sometimes, too, what you can see, especially in progression of dental disease, is sometimes these bunnies will have eye discharge, so tearing or accumulation of either, you know, clear watery discharge or sometimes thick cloudy discharge along the corners of their eyes, going down to their cheeks. So sometimes, believe it or not, eye signs can be a signal that something is going on with your bunny's teeth.
Ooh, okay, there you go. That's a good answer there. We're talking to Lorelei DeVolio and Katie Rolfe, our experts from Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists. And let's see, I'll read a question here. Does anyone want to take one about pet fish? This one is coming in from Patty. It says, I've really enjoyed having a fish with my son. We have a pet. It doesn't say what kind, but it says he wants to have more. How do I know if they're compatible with each other? Patty wants to know. I guess the son, they probably tried out, I guess, with one fish and he wants more.
I guess we'll have that one. I suppose, you know, looking into the breeds, you know, the types of fish that you have, trying to stick with schooling fish, you know, fish that are used to being in, you know, groups of other types of fish, as well as fish that are used to living with other types of fishes. So things like, I don't know, maybe if we're freshwater, things like tetras or mollies or guppies, those are all fish that tend to do well in group settings, and then avoiding maybe more aggressive or territorial breeds. Just kind of, you know, looking into the specific fish breeds before you bring them home.
Yeah, right. I think it's also important to remember that some of these fish will eat other fish, you know, like there are this fish and they actually consume other fish. So we do need to be really careful about what we're combining. And also keeping in mind the different kinds of tanks we have. So there are freshwater tanks, like Katie said, there are brackish tanks, which is like a mixture of salt and fresh, and then there's full-on saltwater reef-type tanks. You absolutely wouldn't want to mix fish that didn't belong in one or the other of those kinds of water settings.
Yeah, I imagine it would probably be distressing to the son as well if the fish he started with gets eaten. So you can't just, you know, you can't wing it. You really should make sure, right?
Yeah, I think that was disturbing to anyone for sure, but certainly a kid would not expect that, yeah.
All right, well, we hope that helps out, Patty. And let's see, we also have a question here. This is from Jill from Hingham. And Jill says, I'm concerned about, this is a bearded dragon. Okay, I have a bearded dragon. How do I know if my bearded dragon is bored? Is there anything I can do to make it stimulated? Okay, I don't know. They're saying that the bearded dragon might be bored, or at least that's what we're perceiving.
That's a great question. And, you know, enrichment is something that we focus on very heavily with our, you know, exotic pets and reptiles. It can be hard. You know, they're not like mammals and they don't, you know, share their personalities and their feelings the same way mammals would. So I suppose if your beardy is, you know, not moving around as much as usual, seems kind of, you know, like he doesn't want to do too much, maybe, you know, other signs of illness, maybe we're still eating, we're still pooping, hopefully, you know, we're not showing signs that we're not feeling good, but, you know, maybe disinterest in, you know, his environment. And then things to do to help provide enrichment would be to, you know, get your beardie out of their enclosure as often as you can, you know, handle your beardie, bring them around on your shoulder, you know, of course, keeping an eye on the temperature, making sure things don't get too cold outside of the enclosure, but, you know, introduce your beardie to maybe new areas of your home under supervision on a nicer day. So maybe not now this season, but when the warm weather comes back around, bringing your beardie outside to enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah, I think getting your beardie out is amazing ideas. The other thing to also consider is that their home enrichment, like within their enclosure, is also a really great way to provide care for your bearded dragons. You know, these guys are very active animals. They don't just sit in one spot and bask all day. If we allow them the ability and provide them the resources to climb up to higher levels or hide under rocks or interact with objects in their enclosure, they will do it. So the more we can provide them with resources within their enclosure that will help them mimic natural behaviors in the wild, digging, you know, reaching up to find, to chew on vegetables, like using food as an enrichment source, giving them toys and things to interact with that are a little novel or out of the ordinary, giving them, you know, things to climb on, natural tree branches, that can absolutely make things exciting for them. And sometimes even just rearranging the enclosure to give them, you know, the opportunity to experience change and experience different environments. So absolutely, they do get bored. I mean, think about it. If you were just sitting in a small tank all day with one rock and one branch, like, things wouldn't be great. And we know that there is a deep connection between mental stimulation and physical health. So we want to make sure those two very interconnected topics are cared for properly.
That's so true. I'm just looking around me now, and I'm imagining it would be very much like a tank if I were in this radio studio all day. I have little glass windows that I can look out. But yeah, if I were here all day and I didn't have some other, I would get a little bored. You're right. Okay. Thank goodness.
For sure.
Well, let's see. Those are some of the questions that have come in, and I want to make sure I give you guys time. Is there anything you wanted to just share with listeners this morning, either you, Lorelei, or Katie? I just want to make sure in case you had anything you wanted to get out to people today.
Yeah, actually, on the topic of bearded dragons, I wanted to bring up something that we've seen very frequently here in our hospital, but also something that I'm experiencing personally with my own bearded dragon. This time of year, once the weather starts to cool off, bearded dragons are going to want to go into something that's called brumation, which is kind of like a hibernation for them. And in the wild, that is a very normal, natural behavior. They'll, you know, hunt and build up fat stores to then be kind of sedentary throughout the winter. But in captivity, that's something that we want to discourage in our captive reptiles. So something that you'd see at home would be, you know, eating less, moving around less, maybe not pooping, you know, kind of general lethargy. And, you know, where they're not wild animals, they're not, you know, able to hunt more, you know, their food is limited to what we provide. And so their bodies aren't really able to prepare for brumation the way that they would in the wild. So if you have a reptile at home who's getting kind of sleepy, who seems to be kind of slowing down these days now that we're, you know, approaching the winter time, we definitely recommend encouraging, you know, activity, encouraging appetite, keeping the temperatures warm and your UVB light active. And if you're worried about your pet, either, you know, doing any of those things listed, or if you're worried that your pet is going into brumation and you're unable to prevent that from happening, to reach out to your trusted, you know, exotic veterinarian to help come up with a plan to prevent that from happening.
All right. Thank you so much. Both of you have been great to have Katie Rolfe and Lorelei Nivolio on with us this morning from our great friends at Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist. CapeCodVetSpecialist.com is the website to find out more. And thank you guys both for coming on. Thank you both.
Thank you, Rob, so much.
Thank you. That's Lorelei Nivolio and Katie Rolfe. And I want to thank the two women for joining us today on Paws and Claws. And we do it every week at this time.